So, today we're doing one of those quote-unquote special classes. I'm not a special person, but I'll try and give a special class. And so, at that time of year, we generally hop around the scriptures in different places. So we're on Aunt Chalila today. Who knows where we'll be tomorrow? I don't know. So this is chapter 5, text number 121. And the topic I was given for the class, which is why I chose this verse, is the Bengali poet and the dangers of Mayavad philosophy. So this is a verse from that chapter. It's a chapter in which a Bengali poet was showing off his skills, but he actually made some serious mistakes in this philosophy, and he was actually propounding Mayavad philosophy. And Swarup Damodar, whose role was to check all the compositions that were to be placed before Mahaprabhu to see if they were good enough. Didn't want to spoil the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar would check that there was no philosophical deviation and no rasabhas. That means a conflicting of rasa. He would ensure that nothing would disturb the deep spiritual mood of Mahaprabhu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and soul of His Lordship, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a great offense. Purport. When one differentiates between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he immediately becomes an offender. Because the living entities in the material world are generally covered by material bodies, the body and soul of an ordinary human being cannot be identical. The Supreme Lord bestows the fruits of one's activities, for He is the Lord of the results of fruit of action. He is also the cause of all causes, and He is the master of the material energy. Therefore, He is supreme. An ordinary living being, however, in his material condition, enjoys the results of his own fruit of activities, and therefore falls under their influence. Even in the liberated stage of Brahma-Bhuta identification, he engages in rendering service to his lordship. Thus, there are distinctions between an ordinary human being and the Supreme Lord. Karmis and Jnanis who ignore these distinctions are offenders against the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ordinary human being is prone to be subjugated by the material energy, whereas His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna or Lord Jagannath, is always the master of the material energy and is therefore never subject to its influence. His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has an unlimited spiritual identity, never to be broken, whereas the consciousness of the living entity is limited and fragmented. The living entities are fragmental portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, eternally. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. It is not that they are covered by the material energy in conditioned life, but become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when freed from the influence of material energy. Such an idea is offensive. According to the considerations of Mayavadi fools, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a material body when He appears in the material world. A Vaishnava, however, knows perfectly well that for Krishna, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unlike ordinary human beings, there is no distinction between the body and the soul. Even in the material world, His Lordship retains His spiritual identity. Therefore, Lord Krishna exhibited all opulences even in his childhood body. There is no distinction between the body and soul of Krishna, whether he is in his childhood body or his youthful body. He is always identical with his body. Even though Krishna appears like an ordinary human being, he is never subjugated to the rules and regulations of the material world. He is Svarat, or fully independent. He can appear in the material world, but contrary to the offensive conclusion of the Mayavad school, he has no material body. In this connection, one may again refer to the above-mentioned verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.11.38. Etad ishanam ishasya prakritisto pitad gunaih na yujyate sadatmasthayar yata buddhis tadashraya. The Supreme Person has an eternal spiritual body. If one tries to distinguish between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he commits a great offence. Ara eka kariyacha parama pramada dehadi beda ishvari kaili aparada. You are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and soul of His Lordship, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a great offence. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubya Ebacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First of all, I'd like to seek blessings of all the devotees. I hope I'm not here too often. Normally I give about probably less than 3 Chaitanya Charitamrita classes in a year. Now I've given 3 in 1 month. But like Jai Krishna Prabhu, I am Stepin Das, as he said yesterday. He steps in when other people cancel, so that's why I'm here again. I was here last week as well. Hopefully, you picked up on the philosophical deviation of the poet. It was in the purport, and also in the verse. Made a difference between the body and the possessor of the body. So for the Lord, there is no difference between his body and himself. But for the jiva, there is a difference. You know, in the first canto, there's a nice verse. Yaya samoita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manatenartam tadkritam chabi padjati. Due to the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord, the living entity, although transcendental, considers his material body to be himself, even though it is simply trigunatmaka, meaning it's just the creation of the modes of material nature. And it is anarta, unwanted, and tadkritam, which means it is created by oneself. If you want to know why you have a material body, you've created it yourself. And how is that? Karmana daivanitrena. Our activities influence our desires and also implicate us in the law of karma. Therefore, we get a material body that is suitable both to our desire and what we are due to suffer and enjoy. And then daivena, that is all done by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, who is the seed-giving Father, and he impregnates this material energy. We are the parts and parcels, and we take these bodies inconceivably. We don't know how, but we get them anyway. So what's the first thing that happens when you're born? Someone gives you a name. In fact, they put a little tag on you very quickly just in case the babies get mixed up in the hospital. You don't want that. You want to take one, the right one home. But that name is different from us. You know, whatever name you're given, it's just some kind of sentiment that your parents have. They give you a certain name, but that doesn't mean that's what you are. Of course, when we get asked, who are you? We generally answer with our name. But there is a difference. Now, in the Majalila chapter 17, there's a verse. Deha dehira nama namira krishni nahibeda. Jivara dharma nama deha svarupe vibeda. That for the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between the body, deha, and the possessor, dehi. There is no difference between the name, nama, and the possessor of the name, nami. But for the living entity, the nam, the deha, and the swarup, the real essence, they're all different. So that's what distinguishes the jiva from the Supreme Lord. Of course, there are many other distinguishing features. Nicho nichanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam, yuvidati kaman. That the Lord is the supreme consciousness. He is the supreme eternal. And we're just fragmental parts. We're also eternal and we're also conscious, but we're just tiny specks, little units of consciousness. Whereas the Supreme, he is that infinite consciousness. This is what distinguishes Mayavad philosophy from Vaishnava philosophy. The Mayavad philosophy, they say that we are God. They don't allow this. They're not humble enough to realize that they are actually tiny. And this is very offensive. Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishni Aparadi. That if one is a Mayavad, he's an offender. And in the verse, you see this word in the second line, Aparad. Just by espousing Mayavad philosophy, the Bengali poet is an Aparadi. So this is not what we want. So how do we deal with Aparadis? Well, you know, there are no shortage of Mayavadis in the world. Srila Prabhupada, he dealt with many, and he was generally quite gentlemanly with them, but he was very, very intense about debating with them. There's an interesting letter. Prabhupada says, Vaishnava etiquette is, when it comes to points of philosophy, you can be very fierce in your debating. But then it doesn't break your friendship with the person. He gives the example of lawyers. In the law court, they may argue very, very furiously with each other. And then outside the law court, they'll just be talking friendly talk and enjoying each other's company. So you can compartmentalize. It's not that because you have a philosophical disagreement, that means you have to hate the person. It's not like that. So in New York, you know, there was the yoga studio, Dr. Mishra. So Dr. Mishra was a Mayavadi, and Prabhupada would often debate with him, but he kept on good terms with him. Another example is Dr. Patel. He would love to associate with Prabhupada, and he would go on the morning walks with Prabhupada. He didn't have so much respect for Prabhupada's disciples because he was an older gentleman himself, roughly the same age as Prabhupada. But he was a Mayavadi. And Prabhupada would sometimes, you know, cut him down philosophically. And his disciples, as in Prabhupada's disciples, they were often upset with the words that were coming out of Dr. Patel's mouth. He was speaking this Mayavad philosophy. But Prabhupada, he liked him. So just as a person, he was cultivating. And what amazing thing happened? He actually became a Vaishnav, just by the association of Srila Prabhupada. So it takes time. So if you know how to defeat a Mayavadi, feel free. It's one of our duties. Mahaprabhu took two points from each of the Sampradayas. And from the Madhva Sampradaya, one of the points he took was the complete defeat of Mayavad. So this is one of the duties that we have. There's lots of them around. There's one I particularly don't like. His name's Sam Harris. Anyone heard of him? Yes, okay. He's one of the prominent atheists in the world. And he's a very good, eloquent speaker. He's a good debater. And he makes his audience laugh at religion because he's very good at deconstructing it. He's an Advaita Vedantin by training. He went to India and he meditated, and he's a vegan. And he's kind of like, he likes to separate God from spirituality. But he has this Mayavad tendency. He's He writes a little bit about Krishna in his books sometimes. He says devotees are sentimental because they kind of play musical instruments and they chant the name of Krishna. He thinks that what we should really be doing is meditating. And he's done Buddhist meditation and other types of meditation. So he reminds me of the Benares sannyasis. They chastise Mahaprabhu. Vedanta Patana Jana is Sannyasira Dharma. The real duty of the sannyas is to study Vedanta Sutra and meditate on the Supreme Brahman. So therefore, Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they are just sentimental because they are playing musical instruments. This is how they chastised Mahaprabhu. But of course, he defeated them. How did he defeat them? With his effulgence, with his beauty, with his discussion of Vedanta. There are so many ways that you can defeat the Mayavad tendency. And here, in the verse, the term used is pramad. It's like in English, we say someone's crazy, we say they are mad. So in Sanskrit, we have the word mad, mada. And if you want to be really super mad, then it's pramada, prakrishta rupena, mad. So we are completely mad if you're a Mayavadi. Mahaprabhu, he also exhibits a lot of pastimes with Mayavadis. I mentioned the Benares sannyasis. Also, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was Mayavadi. He was so foolish that even though he could see the extraordinary symptoms of Mahaprabhu, the ecstatic symptoms, he still did not realize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Gopinathacharya, he chastised him. Atapiti deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshana grihita evahi jinati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiran vichinvan shishirada gokulananda ki jai. This is a verse from the 10th canto. Lord Brahma says, the scholar, even after many, many years, cannot understand the Supreme. But if you get just a fragment of the mercy of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then you can understand tattva. This is how we approach the absolute truth. There's an amazing story. When Prabhupada was about to leave the planet, well, roughly at that time he was on his bed, he couldn't get up. There was a brahmachari, and he wasn't ISKCON, he had a guru from another godbrother of Prabhupada. He was sitting, he had took darshan of Srila Prabhupada, and he was sitting in the room. And Prabhupada, he called him over. So this brahmachari came up to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada whispered the Maha Mantra in his ear. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And this brahmachari, he describes that at that point, he had so many questions. He was chanting 64 rounds a day, this brahmachari. He had so many philosophical questions. And they were all miraculously answered just when he heard the mantra from Prabhupada. And not only that, so many other questions that he didn't even think of, they just came up in his consciousness and they were automatically answered. So this is how we attain divine knowledge. It's empowerment. It is revelation within the heart. So we may be a great scholar, we may be a great poet, like this Bengali poet, but he did not understand the truth because he had not received the mercy. He didn't have the right attitude. When I went to school, poetry meant metaphor, simile, rhyming, meter, alliteration. That's about all I ever was taught about poetry. But there's a lot more to poetry that we don't learn about, because we don't need to. It's like Vedanga. It's not the essence of our scriptures. But if you are properly schooled in these things, you can learn more about poetry. We have, for example, in Sanskrit, we have long and short syllables. We shouldn't learn these things because we chant Sanskrit verses. Now, the most common meter we have is Anushtup. Most of the Bhagavad Gita verses are Anushtup. It means each line is eight syllables. Now that meter, there are only a few of those eight are fixed, long and short. And there's a bit of flexibility. Some syllables can be long and short. But there are other meters where every syllable is already defined as being long or short. For example, the Brahma Samhita. If you the meter of Brahma Samhita, it must follow exactly long and short according to what's in the lines. So you imagine if you're trying to compose something in that meter, you can only choose words that have long and short syllables that match that meter. So there's a lot more to poetry than what we know in English. There's also a phrase called dvani, which means reverberation. What it means is the meaning is greater than the literal meaning of the words. I was listening to a lecture by Gopi Puranadana. He was explaining that. And not only do you get dvani, but then you can get further dvani, double dvani, triple dvani, in which, for example, he gave the example, you may see the sages are living on the bank of the Ganges. That's his literal meaning is straightforward, but just by using the word Ganges, it brings up so many other things. It brings up the spiritual mood, the spiritual river, the devotion. So many other things are indicated just by the word Ganga or Ganges. So poetry, you know, there's so much to it that we don't learn. And if someone has all these qualities of knowing poetry, then they become, you know, a big person. This is what happened to this Bengali poet. He was taken seriously by the associates of Mahaprabhu. Must be a Leela, because, of course, why would the associates of Mahaprabhu be taken in by this foolish poet? Must be a Leela. Many of them are Nitya Siddhas. So in the Katha Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedya Na Bahuna Shrutina Yam Eva Shil Vrinuti Tena Labhyas Taishyaisha Atma Vivrinuti Tanam Svam. Not by intelligence, not by learning, not by eloquence can one know the Supreme. He's actually known by whomever he chooses. So the Bengali poet, you know, he's puffed up because he thinks he's a great poet. What was his mistake? What was his philosophical mistake? He saw, actually, the error applies not only to Lord Chaitanya, but also to Lord Jagannath. His concept was, Lord Chaitanya has entered into the body of Jagannath. Jagannath is a piece of wood. The soul of Lord Chaitanya has entered into that piece of wood and has given it life. So there's twofold error here. In respect to Lord Jagannath, you're thinking that Lord Jagannath's body is a piece of wood. That's an offense because the body of Jagannath and Jagannath himself are Satchidananda. There's no difference. And by saying that Lord Chaitanya is entered into the body and is occupying a body, it's the same offense because now you're distinguishing between Lord Chaitanya, the soul, the jiva, Lord Chaitanya, supposedly, and the body that he possesses. Either way, it is an offense. So here's a question for you all. We are supposed to defeat Mayavad philosophy. So what verses can we quote from Bhagavad Gita that defeat Mayavad philosophy? Srinivas Prabhu. Yes, na tveva ham jatuna sam, na tvam na me janadipa, na chaiva na bhavishyama, sarve vayam ata param. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future can any of us cease to be. This is from chapter 2. It's the first philosophical instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna. In the purport, Prabhupada gives an indication of what the Mayavadis say to that. They reply, this duality is referring to the body, not to the soul. So that's what their claim is. When Krishna says, never did you not exist, never did I not exist, it's referring to the bodily existence. In other words, once we leave our bodies, we all merge into the one Brahman. This is how they argue. And Prabhupada's reply is, this is foolish because it's out of context. Because just prior to that, Krishna tells Arjuna, Asochan and Vasochas Tum, Pragya Vadams Tabashasi, Gatasun Nagata Sungscha, Nano Shochanti, Panditaha. Those, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for those who are not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. In other words, Krishna rejects the bodily platform. So why would he then, in the next verse, or is it the next verse exactly? I can't remember. Why would he then say, go but keep things on the bodily platform? He's already rejected the bodily platform. Therefore, the eternal distinction that has been referred to in this verse, Natveva Hum Jatunasam, is referring to a distinction of the soul and not a bodily distinction. So yes, that is one example. Other verses? Manyate Mama Buddhayaha. That is the one I was thinking of the most. It's from the 7th chapter, right? The Lord says, foolish people think I am the Lord is unmanifest and then assumes a body. He's a vyaktam and then vyaktimapana, he then takes a form. This is exactly how the Mayavadis see it. They see that there is the unlimited supreme, unmanifest, who then takes a form. We call them avatars. They have a body made of material energy. They even say that it's a body of sattvagun. They don't have a tamasic or rajasic body. These avatars supposedly have a body made of sattvagun. And then after the end of the avatar, merges back into the unmanifest. So this is why Mayavad is called Mayavad. Because the body is made of maya. They say Krishna's body is made of maya, as in sattva-gun. So what type of vadi are we? We're not mayavadis. We have a corresponding term. Parinama-vadis or shakti-parinama-vadis. So parinama means transformation. You see, the problem with mayavad philosophy is they cannot explain transformation. It's a problem for them. You see, both schools, Vaishnav school and Mayavad school, both agree that the Lord does not undergo transformation. It's just a standard quality of the Lord. He is free from transformation. So then the problem arises, how to explain this material world? After all, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, everything's Brahman. This material world is full of transformation. But the Lord doesn't undergo transformation. So what is this world? The way they answer it, they say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitcha. Brahma's truth, but the Jagat, the universe, is Mitcha, it's false. In other words, it's not really undergoing any transformation because it doesn't really exist. That's what they say. So don't worry about the transformation. It's not a real transformation. It's just a dream. What's the Vaishnav counter-argument? How do they explain transformation? They have an analogy. It's the analogy of touchstone. Touchstone, if you take iron and you touch it with touchstone, it turns into gold. So the iron has been transformed, but the touchstone remains the same. So Brahman, and for us Brahman means ultimately Krishna. Krishna can transform this material universe, but he himself remains untransformed. So that's the proper conception. Any other verses from the Gita? Similar one, Avajananti Mam Muda, Manushim Tanum Ashrita. That fools deride me when I descend in my human form. They do not know my Param Bhav, my transcendental nature. The Param Bhav means that the Lord's body is eternal, Satchidananda. Any other ones? Yes. That's the same as what Sutapada just gave us. Well, that's another one. Avyaktam, that's the... But that's the best one. For me, that's the best one. Here's another one, and it's from the 16th chapter. How does it go again? Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram. The demons say, this material world is asatya. It is apratishta, and it is anishvara. There's no God in control. So the Mayavadis, as I mentioned, they say jagan mitya. the universe is false. Well, the Bhagavad Gita says, demons say the universe is asatya, it's not real. So that's the demonic quality. What about from the Bhagavatam? There was a famous verse in the second chapter of the 10th canto, the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb. And Srila Prabhupada often quotes this in connection with Mayavad philosophy. Yenyer vindaksha vimuktimaninas tvayasta bavada vishuda buddhayaha aruhya kritshrena parampadam tatah patanchino ratnadrita yushmadangrayaha. That is, the meaning is, the impersonalist with great endeavor, they transcend the modes of material nature, come to the platform of Brahman, but due to the offense of neglecting to worship the lotus feet of the Lord, they once again fall down into this material world. So Prabhupada would make the observation that we often see great impersonalists, they come down from their so-called platform of transcendence and they take up humanitarian work. They open up hospitals, etc. This is one of the activities of prominent Mayavadis. So the point he's making is, if they're really that advanced, then they would be able to remain on the transcendental platform. But if you neglect to worship the lotus feet of the Lord, then the platform that you're on is unsafe and you're guaranteed to fall. And actually the fate of Mayavadis is worse than the fate of Karmanishtas. You know, Karmanishta means those who are devoted to the path of karma. They take birth as demigods in their next life, whereas Mayavadis take birth as trees. Because the Mayavadis are trying to make everything zero. So they take a suitable birth where they are born as trees or stones, very inert. That is the punishment they have for denying the existence of the Lord. Here's an interesting pastime. As I mentioned, our duty is to defeat Mayavad philosophy. It's one of our instructions given by Prabhupada. And of course, his Pramam mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesa Tarani. He's delivering the world from Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad. Actually, Prabhupada explains that both Buddhists and Nirvisheshvadis are Mayavadis. I don't know if he's referring to all Buddhists, but there's a certain type from Saranat, they are considered to be Mayavadis. So, one time, Madhudvisa Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, was traveling with Prabhupada on the plane. So Prabhupada said, "Are you ready to fight?" And Madhudvisa asked, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "You must know how to fight with the Mayavadis." So then he said, "Let's play a game." And Prabhupada said, "I'll be the Vaishnav, you be the Mayavadi. Let's debate." So they had a debate, and Prabhupada defeated Madhudvisa. Then Prabhupada said, "Now we'll swap. Now you be the Vaishnav, I'll be the Mayavadi." So they had another debate, and Prabhupada defeated him again. See, the Acharya is so talented that he can defeat the Vaishnava position with Mayavad philosophy. So he then said to Madhudvisa Prabhu, he said, "You should know your opponent's arguments so well that you can defeat their arguments. Sorry, you can defeat your own position with their arguments. And what do you do if you can't? Well, you can feed them prasadam." That's one way to kill the Mayavad tendency. Or just by charm. If you're like just nice to someone, then they become attracted. So if we don't have the philosophical firepower to do that, then we can defeat with the holy name. You know, this famous verse, what's it called? Tvisha Krishna, what's the first line? Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadai Yagyai Sankirtana Yajai Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. So in this verse, it's Sango Pangastra Parshadai. The Astra, meaning the Lord comes with his associates, his confidential servitors, and his Astra, his weapons. What is the meaning of Astra in this verse? Anyone know? What weapon does he come with? He doesn't cut off their heads. Beauty, yes. Actually, I've seen three answers to this, and that's one of them. That's what Jiva Goswami mentions. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya is his weapon. That's how he charmed the Benares sannyasis with his beauty. What else does the astra mean? His associates are his weapon, because his associates, they're going preaching and they're killing the demonic spirit within the conditioned soul. So they are the weapons of Mahaprabhu. And also the holy name is the weapon. The holy name will destroy the demonic spirit. So when I was giving class a few weeks ago, I asked the question, how do we know not to cut out the tongue of the blasphemer? It's written in the purport. So how do we know not to do it? So Deepak Prabhu, he gave a quote from teachings of Queen Kunti. So in that book, there's a statement that the Prabhupada says, in this age of Kali, killing is too much. So we don't kill the person physically, we just kill the demonic spirit. And if we were to kill demons, then everyone would be killed because there's no one left. Practically no one's a devotee in Kali Yuga. So we kill the demonic spirit and we do it through the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So should we study Mayavad philosophy? We have to know it to defeat it. However, Mayavad Basha Shunili, Hoi Sarvanash. Mahaprabhu warns, if you hear this Mayavad philosophy, you will be destroyed. In fact, there's an amazing purport where Prabhupada explains even a Mahabhagavat can fall down hearing Mayavad philosophy. I understand it this way. There's three categories of Mahabhagavat, and it's kind of platform of Ruchi and above your Mahabhagavat. So there's a type of Mahabhagavat who's yet attained the platform of Prema. So maybe that Mahabhagavat falls down. That's my understanding anyway. So I gave an example, Pragashananda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, another example. We have the example of Mukunda. Mukunda, he was associated with Mayavadis. And when Mahaprabhu heard, he was so angry, he banished him from his association. And then what happened? Mukunda asked his associates of Mahaprabhu, when will I ever get darshan again of the Lord? So they asked Mahaprabhu, and he said, he will not get darshan for many millions of years. And when Mukunda heard this, he was in ecstasy. I will once again get darshan after millions of years. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very pleased with his devotion, and immediately he brought him back into his association. It's a beautiful pastime. So, actually, my question I asked, I didn't answer it, should we hear Mayavad philosophy? Well, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, he was given the instruction by Prabhupada, yes, you study this Mayavad philosophy, because you need to study it in order to defeat it. You just have to study it the right way. I remember when Garuda Prabhu was here, he was telling how when he was at university studying for his PhD, he was studying the Shariraka Bhashya, which is the commentary of Shankaracharya. So it's okay for devotees to do it as long as they're careful, but we have to be careful to do so. Here's a lovely story. Atmatattva Prabhu gives the story. One time he's a Gurukul, used to be Gurukul teacher, Prabhupada disciple. One time he took his students to the Kumbh Mela. And he heard that at the Kumbh Mela, there was some great personality. He had united nine branches of the Ramanandi spiritual group. I think they're part of the Ramanujacharya group, I think. Anyway, the Ramanandis, they actually are quite famous. They were the ones that objected to the Gaudiyas worshipping Radha and Krishna together, which led to Baladeva Vijayabhushana writing the Govinda Bhashya, the commentary of Govinda, in to defeat the Ramanandis. Anyway, the Ramanandis had a problem. They had nine, they were split into nine different groups. And there was one Ramanandi, very prominent, he was able to unify all the nine groups. and he was quite young. So Atmatattva Prabhu, he went to visit him with his students. And there he was, young man, and there were all these very senior, elderly sannyasis who were fanning him and being very, you know, taking the lower position. So he's thinking, who is this powerful personality? He's now the Acharya of the Ramanandis. He saw Atmatattva and he goes, Atmatattva, do you remember me? He was shocked. He goes, you used to carry me on your shoulders. So what happened was Atmatattva used to do padayatra, and there was this Ramanandi, he had a son, and this son he would carry, so Atmatattva would carry his son on his shoulders. They went to visit Prabhupada when he was a young boy. And Prabhupada had said to this Ramanandi, he said, give me your son, I will make him Acharya. And the Ramanandi, his father said, he's not finished his studies, you know, later. So and Prabhupada said, he doesn't need to know grammar and things, I'll make him an Acharya. Now this man, he said, okay, but he didn't actually give his son to Prabhupada. This was the same person. Later on, the son, on the order of his father, he went to Benares and he studied for 4 years all the commentary of Sharirakha Bhashya. He was telling this to Atmatattva when he met him again, so many years later. So he was so powerful he could defeat the Mayavadis, and he took the austerity for 4 years to study this Sharirakha Bhashya. So sometimes you see acharyas, they will take the trouble to go into detail the opponent's philosophy in order to defeat. So this young boy, he became so qualified. He never forgot that Prabhupada, he was almost expecting his father to somehow at some point give him to ISKCON, give him to Prabhupada, but he never did. But he had fond memories of his time when he saw Prabhupada as a child. And at that time, actually, he spontaneously composed a verse in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. And he was explaining, no one has ever done what Prabhupada has done, and no one in the future will ever do what Prabhupada has done. And I can say that, and it is no disrespect to the acharyas in my tradition, something like that. So he recognized the very unique contribution of Prabhupada, that he was able to take the Sanatana Dharma and transplant it throughout the world. So our job is to then carry on that mission and glorify Prabhupada. I'm trying to think. Do we have time? Yeah, we've got time. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ask for comments and questions, and if we don't, I'll carry on speaking. Anyone have any comments or questions?